It's time for the Podcateer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podcateer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see, for I've got curiosity.
Good morning, Podcateers, and welcome to episode 38 of Podcateer. Believe it or not, and I can't hardly believe it, it is 3:49 a.m. on Sunday, March the 18th, and I am not on my way to Disneyland. I am on my way to work. We had some stuff back up that required Sunday work, and the loyal employee that I am, I agreed to come in. Of course, the fact that they're paying me double time doesn't hurt. As you can tell by the road noise, I am in the mobile recording studio. I have not been to Disneyland all week. I have been tracking Disney news, and my daughter and her fiancé, who both bought annual passes last week, have made it out there twice. So I've got some secondhand reports. I've been reading a lot and watching the Disneyland News website, where they had some pictures posted of Cars Land. So I am getting very excited about seeing that. I'm still looking for a cast member to get me into the cast member preview of Cars Land. But so far, everybody seems to really want to see that, so most of the cast members that I've talked to have already got family members, pardon me, it's 3 o'clock in the morning after all, family members all set to go, so I'm afraid I'm on the outs, at least so far. But even if I have to wait till June the 15th, as you can imagine, I will be out there on June the 15th and give you a bird's eye view, or bird's eye ear, I guess, of what goes on. I'm sure there'll be some kind of ceremony and hoopla. So hopefully I can get out there on June 15th. If not, I'll be there shortly afterwards and report on that week's podcast. I'm afraid today's show is going to consist of what I can record on this little recorder here and maybe a clip or two, because I am working long hours this weekend. I worked 14 and a half hours yesterday. Today, I would imagine I'll probably be there at least 10. I have a job I need to complete, so depending on what time it takes to complete that, I may be there pretty late. I am hoping very much that I can get out of there in 10 hours, because I have to pay the bills today and put the podcast out, so I have a few things to do besides working. I am right now going to play you some kind of clip. I know I have something that you haven't heard before. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clips that I've recorded at Disneyland and just for some reason never got around to playing. And plus a lot of audio files that I picked up off of YouTube. So I'm going to get something just amazingly interesting and play it for you right now.
Now here is this week's special feature, direct from inside Disneyland, the happiest place on Earth.
Oh, no, no, no. are on the fifth level of the Matterhorn Bobsleds attraction while it's down for its 2012 six-month rehab. The last huge rehab the Matterhorn went through was in 1978, and that was when we got the current vehicle set that we're using right now. And they put all the tunnels and caverns into the mountain, and actually the mountain's never been scaffolded top to bottom since it was built in 59. There's actually several big drivers for this year's rehab. The main one is the new vehicle fleet that we're getting. We've got three rows in each vehicle, each for an individual rider. So there's three seats per vehicle versus the two tandems. So six passengers per train now. And we've also got a brand new station to accommodate them for a single rider and guests with disabilities. And also a brand new exterior appearance, which includes snow caps and a brand new paint color to top it all off. Inside the mountain, we're cleaning up some of the aged metal that needs to be looked at, replacing woodwork, adding a whole bunch of new show set lighting to the Yetis that everyone likes to look at, and basically refreshing the interior. The Matterhorn Bobsleds attraction will be open to our guests again on June 15th.
I wanna go! Park hopping fast, ride dropping, flying through space, mountain sky. Magical dreaming, tower drop screaming, it's a spectacular night. Jungle cruise roaring, Toy Story scoring, electric light parading, my heart soaring. Everyone dancing, fireworks blasting, let's go to Disney summer night. Genie wishing, ice cream dishing, laughing, autographing tonight. Move a busting, pixie dusting, soaring high, clean out of sight.
You are listening to the Podketeer podcast.
You know, it's amazing how few people are on the road at 3:56 a.m. on a Sunday. I am driving along on my way to work, as I mentioned, and there's just absolutely nobody out here. Even the freeway, I could just see a few cars. On the road, I mean, I can see one car way off in the distance coming towards me and nothing behind me. And this is a main drag. Yep. And you know how I was thinking that just 2 weeks ago, a little over 2 weeks ago, but almost 2 weeks ago, I was actually at Disneyland at this time of the morning and still had 2 hours to go. Wow. But that was pretty cool. I don't know if any of you did it. I'm hoping that if they decide to do it in 4 years again, that they put a little more thought into it. Because it definitely came off as something that was underplanned. It was very spotty. Some parts of it were nicely produced and well done. And other parts you could see that either they grossly underestimated the number of people that were going to come, or the people that did the planning just were not really up to it. There were way past a normal capacity at several times during the course of the event. It was an odd day because you had spells where the capacity, as I said, was up to the 68,000 max that the park will hold. And then there were other times where it wasn't too bad as people would bail out of there. It seemed about like 9 or 10 o'clock that a lot of the people with real small children bailed. But what also had happened is just a little bit before that, at 8 o'clock when California Adventure closed, all the people from California Adventure came over to Disneyland. So at 8 you had a huge influx, but then about 10, you had almost an equal amount leaving. But then as people decided that, hey, they'd like to be there for sunup, between 12 and 2, it got packed again. But anyway, there were not enough restaurants open. They should have brought in extra seating, because there literally was hardly a spot to be had on a bench, because a lot of people were sacked out on benches. It looked like New York City. If you ever been to New York City, the transients all get up in all the little cubby holes and walkways and things off the sidewalk and cuddle up with blankets, and that's what it looked like on Main Street, because in every little alcove and doorway there was somebody on the ground with a blanket wrapped around them towards the early morning hours, which was something kind of odd for Disneyland. You don't normally see that. As I said, the restaurants, that was a problem, especially at meal times. There just wasn't enough places to eat. They should have had more carts. Getting something to drink was also a problem. There was a huge line for coffee and hot chocolate as it got cold. I heard people say that they waited in line for over an hour to get a cup of hot chocolate, which is certainly beyond what you normally see at Disneyland. I believe there was one churro cart and one popcorn cart in the whole park, which is certainly not enough with the kind of crowd they had, because like I say, they had more than a regular capacity and far less than that capacity in services. So anyway, my apologies for my lack of brain power. It's 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and as I get these random thoughts, I wanted to record them for the show, but sometimes my brain isn't firing on all 8 cylinders. Alright. So enough for that thought about the leap day. Oh, and by the way, I got my ears. I believe I had mentioned on the last show that I had bought some ears on eBay, because unfortunately, when I was out there, the ears were gone. All the adult size ears were gone. So I was shut out. And same thing with the buttons. I didn't get there until 6 o'clock in the evening, so it was to be expected. I didn't figure I was going to get one. So I bought a button, only paid $7 for the button, so I wasn't too bothered by that. The hat cost me a little more than I would have liked to have paid. I paid $45 plus shipping for the hat, so it was over $50. But it is one of the 2,000 freebie hats. Now, the way you can tell, by the way, the freebie hats have $13.50, I think it is, price tags on the back of the ear. The hats that were sold at the event were sold for $20.95. So if you get one that's got the $13 price sticker on it, or somewhere close to there, that's one of the freebies, because they just pulled the hats off the shelf and sewed the logo on it and apparently didn't bother to take the price tag off. So I thought you might find that interesting. I also, by the way, as I'm having these random thoughts, I bought one of the pass holder keys on eBay, because I just have not made it out to the park, and I wanted to make sure I got the next in the series of pass holder keys. And I think I got a pretty good deal on it. I only paid $13. Yeah, I think it was $13.50. That included shipping, so. And the key was $10.95 at the park, so hey, I'll pay the guy $3 to buy me a key. Thanks, buddy. I very much appreciate it. All right, well, it's starting to rain, so I have to turn on my squeaky windshield wipers. So rather than torment you with that, I'll let you go. It's on with the show.
An audience. Hey, what's the attraction, Doc?
Standing at the entrance to Buena Vista Street in Disney California Adventure, the street resembles what Walt Disney would have experienced when he first arrived in Hollywood in 1923. In keeping with that, what we've done is we've created this wonderful street that has beautiful Los Angeles historic icons recreated for our guests. Starting with the main entrance, which is designed after the Pan Pacific Theater, which was an historic icon in Los Angeles around the time that Walt arrived here. We have two red car trolleys that are going to be traversing up and down the street. And what's so wonderful about that is it really harkens back to the days when we did have red car trolleys. Our icon will be the Carthay Circle Restaurant and Lounge. And what's so significant about that is that in 1937, Walt Disney premiered Snow White, and it was such a fantastic hit and so well received that it actually launched the rest of all that we see here at Disney California Adventure. I hope when guests come here, as they walk down the street in Walt's footsteps, that anything is possible and that this is going to be a fantastic experience for them.
Carsland is a 12-acre expansion to Disney California Adventure, and we are literally building the town of Radiator Springs. When you come in our main street, which is Route 66, and to the entrance of Radiator Springs, it is laid out exactly in the same order as you see it in the movie. So on the outskirts of town is Nader's Junkyard Jamboree. The tractors and the trailers dance and go in circles, and they pull our guests behind them. It's so much fun. And then behind Luigi's Casa de la Tires is the Luigi's Flying Tires attraction. And this is where guests get into their own Fettuccine brand tires. As Guido turns on the air compressor, our guests will rise up on air and they'll be able to float around, spin and bounce. And then our biggest attraction is Radiator Springs Racers. Our guests will be able to get into a car and take off on this really wonderful trip through Radiator Springs, Ornament Valley, and it ends with a really thrilling race side by side against another car. It's the end of a 5-year effort of expanding Disney California Adventure, and in 2012, when everything is open again and guests can experience, it's going to be so exciting.
Podcateer episode 38 segment, The Disney Way. You know, Podcateers, it has dawned upon me that I believe that the current Disneyland management is really taking the starch out of what has been known as the Disney Way. In order to have a Disney Way, you have to have cast members that care about the park. If you don't have that, none of the rest of it's going to work. And the constant mistreatment of the lower rung of cast members that I am hearing about pretty steadily from people that I know that are cast members is severely damaging the Disney way. Because what's going on is the people that work in the stores, the people that work in the restaurants, the custodians, those are the ones you see before you see any management, any ride operators, or really anybody. And they treat those people like they're disposable. Now, admittedly, in today's economy, there are a lot of people that are going to line up for a job at Disneyland. It's true. There are a lot of people out of work that would literally do almost anything to put food on the table. And those are reasonably well-paying jobs. They're not, you know, you're not going to get rich working at Disneyland. But they're not bad. And they're considered by a lot of people fun until they work there. But the mistreatment of the people is giving all of them, even the staunchest Disneyland fans, a sour taste in their mouth. And it's starting to impact the way they treat guests. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing far more cast members now that don't know anything about Disney. There was a time when you would talk Disney trivia or Disney movies, or you'd get chatting with somebody working at the park, and almost to a person, they knew a lot about Disney and a lot about Disneyland. They were Disneyland trivia buffs, and you could stand there and enjoy a conversation with them just talking that. But I'm finding more and more that they know nothing about the park. I've started kind of quizzing people when I go. I'll have a cast member that's fairly young, and say that day happens to be something significant to Disneyland. For instance, I went in December, and it just happened to be on the anniversary of Walt's death. And I asked about 25 or 30 cast members, and far less than half, I think it was more in the neighborhood of a quarter, of the people knew it was the anniversary of Walt's death. And I did something similar on Walt's birthday, and I was even wearing a pin that said that something about Walt's birthday. I forget what the pin says now. And when I asked them, it was very few knew it was Walt's birthday. And they didn't have any kind of recognition of the fact that it was Walt's birthday. I think that that's the kind of thing that should be honored at the park. And it's the kind of thing that would bring the cast members on board with the history of the park. If they celebrated more of that type of event, the cast members would start recognizing it. And if they don't do something soon, Disneyland is going to turn into Magic Mountain. It's already starting to look that way when in terms of maintenance. I'm very displeased by the lack of maintenance at the park. They picked it up, did real well right before the 50th anniversary and immediately after the 50th. But it is starting to slip again. I'm starting to see trees that need trimming, burned out lights, damaged storefronts, cracked concrete, people's initials scratched in things. It's just something that shouldn't be. And something that, when Walt was alive, was not allowed to happen. I don't know if you're aware of this, but during Walt's tenure there, they had a staff come in and paint every night. They didn't paint everything, of course, but they painted anything that had been scratched or chipped, because Walt wanted the park to look every day like it just opened the day before. And that's what makes Disneyland special, that appearance, that it's new, that every day you come there, it's just like it was when you were a kid. And if they don't pick that up and take care of the other problems, they're going to start suffering from the same malady that a lot of the other amusement parks are suffering from. They're just going to be another amusement park. And I hope I never see the day when that happens. And I'm going to keep bugging the people at City Hall and keep writing letters and sending emails. I'm sure they are probably tired of receiving them. But that's the way you get something done. It's the way you get something done in anything, is you got to bug people. If you, like me, want to see Disneyland stay like it is and improve upon what it is, whenever you see something that's broken, whenever you see scratched paint, whenever you see anything that has been broken for too long, go to City Hall and say something. And don't just talk to the person behind the counter, because they're a typical complaint department person. They're there to smile and tell you how sorry they are to hear that you were displeased and give you a button or something to make you feel better. But they're not really going to do anything about anything, pretty much. Talk to their manager. That's what I try to do, is I try to talk to whoever's in charge, because they will actually get something accomplished. Whereas the person, like I say, the person that's at the counter doesn't really have the authority to do much of anything other than give you a button, maybe give you a free pass to get something to eat or something if you had a bad meal, but there's really not a lot of authority that are handed out to those folks. So you want to talk to somebody up the ladder just a little bit. And keep doing it. Keep complaining. Keep letting them know you're unhappy. And hopefully, they'll pay attention to do something about it. Or they'll revoke your annual pass. And then you'll have me to blame for it. But if they do revoke your annual pass, I ain't paying for it. Sorry.
Missed it by that much.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, if you liked today's show and would like to hear more, look us up on iTunes and subscribe to the show. If you really liked us, please leave us a review on iTunes, as it helps attract new listeners. Remember that you can also find the show at podcateer.com.
Well, Podcateers, I hope you enjoyed that amazing, wonderful audio presentation, whatever the heck it was. And I hope that you will come and join us next week for episode 39 of Podcateer. We're creeping up on episode 40, believe it or not. So, as usual, you guys all have a magical Disney week, and if I manage to get out of work sometime during the week, maybe I'll see you at the park. Ta-ta for now.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from all us crazy Disney geeks here on Podcateer.
Where there's cheeses, there's bound to be mouses.
Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse copyright 1928. The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podcateer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
there, folks. And me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh?
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
What? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
It's always Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you. M-O-U-S-E.
Home.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.